Nice to meet you this morning.
My name is Dan Toner, and I'm with ShareWord Global, the Gideons. Now you know who I am. Funny story, you know, I will call some of our volunteers, our donors, and I'll say, Dan Toner from ShareWord Global, and they'll say, sorry, we're not interested. And then I have to tell them, no, it's the Gideons. And so quite often that's what I'll do, knowing my audience, I will say, you know, ShareWord Global, the Gideons. So I come from Airdrie, Alberta. I didn't fly in today, I didn't drive today. I arrived on Friday night and stay in Winnipeg. And I'm married with three boys, two of them are married. One pastor's, now imagine it's one pastor's at the Pentecostal church and one pastor's at the Alliance church. And they get along. The Alliance church is more charismatic. The Alliance church is more charismatic than the Pentecostal church. And we have five grandchildren and they all live in Airdrie. And then our middle son lives in Calgary and he's not married at this time. But it's just a delight to be here. This is my first time in Whiteshell. Come on. I didn't see a sign welcoming me, that's okay. I was in Lac Devonny a little while ago. I've been there. That's as close as I've been, but it's just a real delight to be here. Thank you, Pastor Craig, and congregation leadership for the invitation to come and be here today, to share the Word of God. And then I will do a presentation on ShareWord Global, the Gideons, a little later to help you understand again who we are. Things have changed a little bit, from the early days. 1911 is when Canadian Gideons, started. And I hope you're okay. You can track with me a little bit. I usually have a little space. I need a little runway. I remember speaking back in the part of my life. I've been a pastor for over 35 years. I worked at the Billy Graham Association at ShareWord Global. But I always looked at these microphones with the cables like a leash to keep me in spot, right? The shorter the leash, the farther the sword. Anyway, so I love the headset. Thank you, Wally, for setting me up this morning. I'm glad I washed my ears because he had to fiddle with the ears. So the thing that's changed since 1911, and things are always changing. God is doing great work across our nation and in the world. Did you know that? And one of the things I love doing is hearing about all the other ministries in the world of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I've met different ministries, I've met donors and people who are supporting many ministries in their lives, and I get to learn about some of these small little ministries and some big ministries that I didn't even know about. But God is building His church, and we're a part of that. You know, not we share it only, but us together. God is building His kingdom, and I appreciate those five W's. I wish I had known they were coming, because I only wrote down three, but I'll have to get the other ones from Pastor Craig. But I'll be praying for you and your church as you continue to move ahead and remembering and the loss. So thank you for having me here on such an honorable day. Give God the glory for that. So that's just a little bit about me and what I have a chance to do. I've been with ShareWord Global since January 15th, a year ago, a year of a bit now. And I came from the Billy Graham Association and pastoring, and it's enough about me. But we're going to talk this morning about Together We Can. Together we can. And first of all, I want to talk about I appreciate that point that Pastor Craig talked about was worthy. Because I want you to understand that deep relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. Now, I can't do that justice this morning, folks. I'm talking to believers. Most of you are probably believers today, and you have been for some time, and you have a great grasp on the Trinity. You have a great grasp at how the three in one operate and function. But it is three in one. And the beautiful existence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, John, in John chapter 10, he talks about that Him and the Father are one. They don't go in opposite directions. They don't fight about who's going to be number one. They don't fight about who's going to be number two. You know, I'm always fighting for that chair. But they work together in complete and utter unity. And this is a beautiful picture of what heaven is going to be like as they function together. And Jesus says in John's gospel, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees His Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. This is a beautiful picture, folks, of this relationship that you and I are invited into. We get to observe, we get to learn about, we get to understand the depth of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have. And that relationship of oneness. And He is worthy for so many reasons. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so this morning, I want you just in a moment, just think about that relationship of heaven as they exist together. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "We are to imitate God therefore in everything you do because you are His dear children." And this idea of being together. And so first of all, before we talk about our relationship with God and working together and working with each other, understanding His relationship, understanding who He is, how understanding how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit operate as one, as a body, as a functions. They don't go in the different directions, not for their own, they're one, and they're not in opposition. So as they work together, then one of the things is that we're called to do is to work together. And I appreciate, I picked up on two of those. I got working and worthy. There you go. Like, are you with me on that? Oh, for days. Don't worry about me. I'll be gone after a little bit. So you'll be okay. It's just kind of like, you know, the rain that comes. It's refreshing or it's different. And then it goes. So I'll go in a little bit. But so as you think, because again, different styles and different things. So I thank you for being gracious. Thank you for being gracious and allowing me just to share as I share. But we're invited into this relationship to work with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so together with Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, together with God the Father, together we're invited to join Him. We're invited into a beautiful existence of relationship, of truth, of reality. And we come into this relationship not knowing at all, but we come in with our eyes, you know, kind of wide open. It's so big and so massive, we don't understand. But we enter into it by faith. And so we enter into this relationship that calls us to love God, to be loved by God, to be forgiven, to be filled with grace, to do partnership. And then all of a sudden, we're introduced to having to work with all these people. And I don't know about you, but I like people. Some people don't like people. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's intimidating. It's fearful. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? They're going to judge me. I didn't wear the right sports coat today. No. But we're invited in relationship to a perfect heavenly relationship. And we're invited into a broken relationship. Really, when you come to think of this, we're just broken people saved by the grace of God. And so, you know, you can lower your expectations a little bit. Because he's worthy. And I'm just like clay. God's still working on me. I've been a Christian since 1988. Not 88. That's why I got married, so that's not 1984. Wow. Just before I went off to Bible school. So into this relationship along the way. So we have this relationship. We're called in to live together in unity. Now, I didn't understand that. I like my space sometimes, but usually I like to be together with people. But we're called, number one, is we're called together to be in unity. And how is that going to work? How do we have unity in all of our relationships? We got so much going on. Your busy life over here and my busy life and their busy life and this and all that. And, you know, all the life stuff comes together sometimes, and it feels more like a rubbing of sandpaper. Do you know what I'm talking about? Than the blessing of liquid or fluid oil just flowing over our relationships. And sometimes we feel that friction and that grit. But guess what? God wants to help smooth those things over. He wants us to be able to work together, to live in unity. Do all that we can do to live in peace with everyone. Romans chapter 12 teaches us about this. And how do we do this? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 helps us get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Well, see, folks, here's part of the plan. But it's hard to get rid of those things in our natural carnal lives. That's why we need the relationship of Christ, the Holy Spirit, leading us and guiding us into the whole truth. The Word of God that gives us direction in all of our lives. And so we're called into this beautiful relationship of unity with Christ and in partnership with Christ. But we're also called into this relationship with one another. And that passage that's on your bulletin, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, that two are better than one, that one can help the other, they can help each other succeed. I want you to know, folks, that God wants us to succeed. And so do we want to help each other to succeed in life. And so we have this ongoing relationship of working together in unity. And may I remind you from Psalm 133, the wonderful passage that says, how wonderful and blessed it is when brothers live together in harmony. And everybody said,
Amen.
Good, you're with me. That's great. But isn't that we're called together? Come together. And this is, you know, we're not to be lone rangers. And I appreciate hearing from Pastor Craig this morning about all the deep relationship that you have with other fellow believers. That's wonderful. Not every church functions like that. It's, you know, well, we're, you know, church ABC, and we don't need DEF. That's death, by the way. My mind, you know.
Thanks, Dan.
You okay?
Yeah.
Dad jokes too, but anyways, we're moving on. But how wonderful it is to live together in unity. And you know that. You know, you've experienced that. You experienced that. You know when things are on the edge? Yesterday, I'm going up to Red Lake, Ontario. How many have been to Red Lake? Let me see your hands. Wow! You want to go back with me? I'm going up there next week. And you'll be in their church. And the one of the Gideons that I called, I saw the name. I knew the name, but I didn't remember. And he's kind of playing along with me. You know, you know something, but you're not going to say it. You're just kind of waiting, right? And so he says, do you remember who I am? And I said, nope. He said, I'm so-and-so from this church. He was the board member that hired me, him and the pastor hired me at an Eastern Pentecostal Bible College in Peterborough. I've known him for, I don't know, since we started ministry together in 1988 in Haileybury, Ontario. And so we had a great laugh about that, and I thought we finished the conversation. About 5 minutes later, after the conversation was over, he calls me back and says, Dan, I have something I need to confess to you. He says, for 30 years, plus whatever it was, I've held this against you. And I didn't know. He didn't have to say anything. But he felt that God had brought us back together so that there could be perfect unity. And we need to live together in unity. I didn't even remember. I didn't know about it. It was something that was in his own heart. But he felt God saying, you need to deal with this now. 30 years later. But you know, but that's the kingdom. That's the way Christ works. He keeps working on us so that we're giving him really. Because, you know, it might have been really awkward for me to show up in his church next week. So God wants us to live together in unity. Number two, together we can help those in need. Together we can help those in need. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Saskatoon, sitting in the parking lot of my favorite store, Costco. No judgment. Anyways, I was sitting, and so I was watching this gentleman. He was trying to get in his car, and a receipt blew away on him. It was a really windy day. And so this receipt, I can see it spinning across the parking lot. And, you know, he's an older gentleman, and I know he's not going to be able to catch it. I don't think I'm going to be able to catch it. I'm going to try. So I get out of my vehicle and I start to book it across the Costco parking lot, through the gas station, across the street. It finally gets stuck in some grass. Go down and pick it up. It's a receipt for $2.18. Yeah. So I'm I'm walking back to Costco parking lot to give it to the guy, and guess what? He's gone. Hey. We're called to help people who are in need. I thought it was a bigger need. But I love the scriptures that are filled with the disciples, with believers living out this in their life. We're called to help those in need. And it sounds like that you are that very same congregation. I love the story of the friends who carry their paralytic friend on the mat, take them up and put them on a roof, cut a hole in the roof and drop them down. I've envisioned that. I've preached that so many times over the years. Part of my life, I've been a pastor, Billy Graham, and anyways. Just a great story, but it's just this powerful image of four people carrying someone on a mat and carrying them up and getting them onto a roof and lowering them down in the presence of Jesus. We do what we can to help people with those in need. In the book of Acts, it talks about a massive yard sale where they went and sold all the possessions and they distributed the proceeds to help those in need. Sounds like this congregation already doing things like that. But we do what we can to help people in need. Cup of cold water given in Jesus' name shall not lose its reward. And so we're designed to be in relationship with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God in our lives, where there's opportunity to help people. Let's help people along the way. Third thing, quickly, together we can pray. Now, the other day, I was driving over to Walmart. I spend a lot of time driving when I'm on these tours. And I'm driving into Walmart, and all of a sudden, the car ahead of me just stops. What are you doing? There's no stop sign. There's nobody coming. What are you doing? Like, sorry, that's not my road rage coming up. But anyway. But I don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden, from the front of the car comes out two geese and a bunch of goslings. That's what a faster movie, yeah, you know. And they walk across. I'm glad we stopped. But I use that illustration to help you this morning because we're called together to pray. And I don't know about you, but I try my best to always, if I say I'm going to pray for you, that I try to do that. But I want to teach you a little habit this morning. You when you know about a fire, it's stop, drop, and roll. Okay? There's no demonstration, just stop, drop, and roll. But be the type of people that stop and pray. Because I don't want to miss an opportunity. Someone shares, you know, I'm going through a hard time, it's a really difficult time, so I'll pray for that later in the week. Just stop the conversation. Let's pray about that right now. The Lord will bring it back to you because, you know, what always happens to me anyways is that because I already went through that exercise, I went through that process, I went through the calling on God and asking for help, this person, to pray together, that God will bring it up again. So sometimes my conversations are quite broken. I love my job, by the way. I don't get to speak very often in churches, and I appreciate the opportunity today. But I do get a chance to do pastoral care. And that was one of the areas that I really worked in and enjoyed so much. I've been in a restaurant talking with a couple, and the conversation, we talk about, you know, farming. I've learned about a lot about farming. I'm not a farmer, but I've learned a lot. I still want to learn a lot more of it. But all of a sudden, they open their hearts. And you think about this, folks, for a moment, because, you know, I meet these people maybe twice a year in our relationship with Sherwood Global, the Gideons. I'm sitting in a restaurant, and they're pouring out their souls. And so it feels like there's nobody else listening, because I'm, you know, just all of a sudden, 2.5 hours. Well, I tell you, I can eat my bacon and eggs a lot quicker than 2.5 hours. But listening together and just stopping and inviting Christ into the conversation, praying together. So we would stop and let's pray about that right now. Let's pray about that. I was having a dinner with some couples in Lloydminster. And when I met this couple that night, they were so down. They were so discouraged. And so I said, let's just stop and pray. So we prayed for them. I prayed for them. And all of a sudden I started to ask them, tell me about the ministry, the things you've done for Jesus. And it was almost like life just began to flow back into them. And so we prayed into that too. I said, let's thank God for that ministry. Because what they learned over in Yellowknife, they brought over to Lloydminster. It's fantastic. But I just want you to be aware. Stop and pray. Be people who just, you know, I'm not going to take a chance and forget about that. We're going to stop right now and we're going to pray. So together we can pray one for another. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Matthew chapter 18 tells us this, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am amongst them. When we're praying, Jesus is amongst us. When we gather in Jesus' name to worship, we gather together in His name, He is with us. And so together we're called to pray. And so let's do that along the way. Fourth thing is, together we can tell the world. And this is going to lead us into our ShareWord Global presentation in just a few moments' time. But together we're called to tell the world. You know what? It's quite often in our personal lives, when we have bad news, we try to keep it to ourselves. We're very cautious who we share that with. Sensitivity, pain, all those sorts of things. But when it's good stuff, we want the world to know. Just had a grandbaby. Woohoo! Just got a new job. Fantastic. My car didn't break down at 380,000 kilometers. Yeah! It's true. Well, I don't have 380. I got 366,000 on it. It's a Honda. So I believe it's going to keep going for a little while. But when we have good news or great news, we want to share, right? And so together we're called to tell the world about the good news of Jesus. We're invited into this relationship. Remember, we're not doing this alone. We're doing this in His power. We're doing it for His glory. We're doing it because of who He is. We're doing it because we love God. God loves us, and we want to tell people about the love that God has for them. Remember the woman at the well, when Jesus interacts with the woman at the well after He's finished talking to her, she runs into town, tells everybody what's going on, and then they all start to flock out to see Jesus. When something great happens, we need to tell others. We want to tell others. And we have something, folks, that needs to be told along the way. So together we can tell the world the birth of Jesus. And when the shepherds came and they saw and they ran and they found Mary, it says, and they went with haste. They quickly went and found Mary and Joseph lying in the manger. And then they went off and made known what they had heard and what they had wondered about. It was just a beautiful scene. But more than that, I just want to come to the end of the Matthew 28 passage, the Great Commission. We know it so well. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Remember, we're doing this because of the relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Trinity. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. Did you hear that? I am, go ahead, with you.
Always.
Always. He's always with us. To do His work, He is with us. We're not doing this alone, and we're not doing this alone. Sometimes we're witnessing together on our own. It just happens to be that way. But sometimes we're witnessing in pairs. Sometimes we're witnessing as family. Sometimes, you know, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. When I was in Kempville, Ontario, has anybody ever been to Kempville, Ontario, south of Ottawa? Perfect. So there was our neighbor. We lived in the parsonage right behind the church. There was a home, and Ray and Leanne lived there. Ray and Leanne. Hi, Ray and Leanne. They had some great little children. Leanne was, and the children were believers. Ray was not, and at the time, and Ray was a mechanic for guess what company? Nissan. Guess what kind of car I drove? Nissan, that's right. No, this was before my Honda, but anyways. So Ray, you know, Ray's, we're having this conversation, and I'm talking to him, and he said to me, I'll make you a deal. I like deals. So I go, he said, I will take care of your car for you if you'll help me understand why my family likes going to church. What? I'm all over that. And we began to have this great friendship relationship where I got to help Ray, because I know nothing about cars. All I do is take it into Honda and pay for it. But you know what? It's got me 366,000 kilometers. But I had this relationship with Ray. I got to talk to him about why would his family love coming to church? What made the difference in their hearts and their home? And you know what? Ray didn't give his heart to the Lord while they lived in Kempville. He gave his heart to the Lord later when they moved to the East Coast. But I had this window of opportunity to tell him the good news. Yes, he helped me take care of my car. But that was regardless. I don't care about that. I just got to talk to someone about Jesus. And you see, folks, time is slipping by in our personal lives so quickly. We have opportunity. I love talking about the gospel. I love talking. I always feel bad for the people on the airplane because they're a captive audience. And I've learned the international sign for Dan, you can't say anything. So if they put their headphones on, you're done. So I just reach out and hold their head noise. You know, God is good, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so together with Christ, we're not doing this alone. We're not doing this alone as the body of Christ. It's the body. We're not all the same. Some are hands and fingers and ears and toes and knees and backs and shoulders. And we're all these different parts. But we are the body. We're doing what the body's supposed to do. We are the body of Christ doing what we're supposed to do. We're individuals, but we're together collectively. So thank you for coming to church this morning and being a part of that. So as we talk about this, you know, the Great Commission and telling the good news, this is where I just want to jump over to where we do at Sherwood Global, the Gideons. And I appreciate, I think it was Jeremy who read the scripture from Mark's Gospel of sowing seed. Because like the farmer, we're sowing seed, those gospel conversations. Scriptures that are given out is making a difference. So I just want to talk to you for a few moments. And we're going to end the service today by praying for our friends and relatives that we want to have a witness to share the gospel with. So the Gideons, like I said earlier, 1911, it became the Canadian ministry, ministering to hospitals and prisons and schools over the years, nurses and police forces and different things like that. In 2015, the Gideons and Sherwood became, the names were synonymous with each other, and even still today they are in a sense. But we were co-branded as the Gideons and Sherwood Global. And part of that history has to do with the CRA, because we couldn't send our money to the USA, where that's where most of the money went, and give a Canadian receipt for that. And so we had to change the structure. And so we became Sherwood Global. And it makes sense, though. It really does. It's not as easy to say, I'm a Gideon. I'm a Sherwood Globalist. Or something like that. It just doesn't fit as well. But the concept and the idea is share word. Share the word. And by the way, there's another ministry called Share the Word. No, it's Give the Word. So we have Give the Word and Share the Word. Share word. Both the directs, one of my regional managers lives in Niverville. How many have been to Niverville? Look, you guys have been everywhere. I know it's your home province, so I get that. So, Tony, who's our regional manager for Sherwood Global, the Gideons, and this leader, the director for Give the Word, is in Niverville. They even go to the same gym. And so they always get them confused. Give the Word or Share the Word. It doesn't really matter. Just get the word out there. So we are the Gideons Sherwood Global. In 2021, we rebranded plainly as Sherwood Global. where our head office is in Guelph, Ontario. We're currently in 48 different countries around the world, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's just a quick picture of, you know, Share We're Global. I'm going to talk about a couple things so you can understand about a little bit of it. So let me ask this question. I told you about the story about Share We're Global and the Gideons. But anybody here at Gideon? Share We're Global member? Let me see your hands. Okay, I know you. Not Kurt. How many have ever been to a Gideon banquet? Anybody here? A few people? How many know what the Gideons are? Well, there's more people have been in Niverville than the Gideons. This is good today. Sorry. But anyways, did anybody here receive a Gideon New Testament grade 5? Praise the Lord. There you go. So the Gideons have shifted to Share We're Global, but they've shifted from the schools. A lot of schools say don't allow scripture to be given out. Same with hotels. And so those were two of the primary places where the Gideons were active, was in schools and in hotels. And things have changed, but some schools are still open. Sometimes the Catholic schools are more open. Sometimes the independent schools are open. Sometimes the Mennonite type schools are open to it. And so we appreciate that along the way. I want to share with you today a little bit about who we are, our vision and mission. Until the good news that was shared with us is shared with all. Doesn't that make sense? That's simple enough. This is who we are. Before the Gideon ministry, a lot of it was on Bible distribution. But when Share We're Global kind of was birthed out of all of that, we have a great history. We've got a legacy. You know, over 100 years of ministry. So folks, this is not gone aside. It's our foundation. But we want to share the good news in relationship and conversation as well as giving out scriptures. And so it's a kind of an add-on, a growing of. And I know that Gideon's, my father-in-law was a Gideon for many years. And when I was pastoring, we had Gideon's our church. When I worked at the Billy Graham Association, we had Gideon's who provided the scriptures at all of our events to give out to people. And so I understand the Gideon's. They would share the gospel, but it wasn't part of their foundational function. It was more scripture distribution. But this is our mission, folks. Until the good news that was shared with us is shared with all. And together we're doing that over, like I said, 48 countries. And I'm going to give you some more stats along the way today. What do we function as? We train people on how to share their faith. And we use a course called Grid Evangelism. Who is on your grid? And we're just simply talking about who are those people in your relationship in life. You don't have to go far. You have people at work. You have people at the grocery store. You have people at the gas station. You have your neighbors. You have all these people. You have people at the restaurant you go to. So we train people how to share their faith. And primarily we work with churches because that's God's plan. We work with the local church. And so this Grid Evangelism course that we do it in Canada. We do it free of charge. I'll show you a picture of that in a moment. We do that free of charge. We do that in Canada and we do it around the world. Because we want everybody to be trained the same way. Because once we've trained you, then we want to equip you with scriptures. And so, part of the packages is that if we come and do the Grid Evangelism course, we'll come with scriptures that you can use for outreach. Spark and Hope Magazine and Gospels of John and New Testaments that you can give away to those people that you have conversation with. So then the third word is go. We want you to go out and share the good news. Sometimes it's on a go trip, or that's a gospel outreach, like a missions trip. We have those operating all the time, and I'll talk about that later. With and for the local church. Because you see, folks, it's not Share We're Global, the Gideons, just showing up in Nicaragua, we do our thing. Because where do those people go? They need to go somewhere, so they go back to the local church. And one of the key parts that we help with that is there's a big blank white space on the bottom here, and you would put your name on there, White Shell. And all the details, how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your church. And so they can do that. And so we want to train people, we want to equip people, and we want people to go out and we give them opportunity to do that along the way. This is our Grid Evangelism course that we teach. A simple, authentic evangelism skills that will engage your head, your heart, and hands in daily routines as God transforms your habits.
And so it's a real simple course. It can be done in 3 hours or 90 minutes or 3 days. We had a church in Tampa, Florida, massive church. They had multiple services for 2 weeks in a row. They gave us their Sunday morning services to do part A and part B of the course. And then on the third week, they had rented a field or a park, brought in bouncies and games and food trucks, and had a massive outreach after they were trained on how to share the gospel with their friends. How do we do this? It's really simply about conversation. How many here like to talk? Come on. That's a winner for everybody. How do we do it? It's really about conversation. Small talk. How are those Blue Bombers doing? They're not playing yet, Dan. Come on now. You small talk. How's the weather? Well, it rained here yesterday. We appreciated the rain. We need the rain. The ground needs rain. I learned a lot about what happened. So small talk. Personal talk means it might be a little bit more conversation about a little more things about going on in life. Oh, I heard you had an anniversary. How many years have you been married? How long have you had this new job? How did you get that new car? Whatever it might be. Personal, a little more depth than just small talk. Then we talk about spiritual thoughts. So you're introducing spiritual thoughts and themes and say, well, listen, would you mind if I prayed for you? And they say, pray for me? Yeah, I'm going to ask God I believe in, who loves you and me, I'd take this need to the and pray about it. And then gospel talk is actually kind of presenting the, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whatever scriptures you want to use. But it's more of that place in our lives where we're moving. So it's just a moving along in conversation. And it doesn't all have to be small talk. And sometimes we get stuck in those different places. But we talk about how to kind of move that conversation along. So that's what we do. We work with that. We also then give God's Word. These are just some samples of different scriptures that we have. Different magazines and different languages. And very useful. When we were in Winnipeg, back in February at the Mission Fest, we had a table set up with a lot of this material. And we had one in one of the Chinese languages. And some gentleman came by and he stopped. And he was very interested. He wanted to get some. Because his ministry, they go to Chinese restaurants to minister to the staff. I go to Chinese restaurants for food. He's Chinese and it makes sense. But they have a targeted audience. And he wanted to know how he could get some of these scriptures to go. And so we have them all different languages and different covers. We have Bibles. We still print hotel Bibles. Did you know that? We still put Bibles in hotels with the Gideon logo on them still. It's still there. And little New Testaments and scriptures. We also have a Bible app with scriptures on it and different languages. And so we give God's Word. We equip you with God's Word along the way. And then we have go trips, gospel outreach trips. A few pictures of trips that we had. Coming this June, there's a go trip taking place in Wetaskiwin, Alberta. And that's so exciting to see this taking place just up the road from where I live. But this go trip's taking place. And these are, they've gone into Wetaskiwin and they're working with local churches and training them how to share the gospel. And then I think there's 27 people coming from across Canada to come to Wetaskiwin to share the gospel over 4 days on the streets along. So that's a bit of our training along the way. Last year, Sherwood Global, with your help and people like you, I want you to go back and go over this for a second here. But it says believers mobilized. Remember I told you about that grid evangelism course, that training course on how to share your faith? Well, that's how many people took that course, 84,000 last year alone. Okay? That's across the world. Okay? That's in Nicaragua and Cuba and Brazil and in Toronto and Kitchener and Winnipeg. So 84,000 people took that course. We worked with 12,000 different churches last year. That's incredible. That's the kingdom. That's your church and other churches just like you. We're all working together in this gospel work because we can't do it alone. Gospel presentations. Those believers who are mobilized, they recorded, not audio or video, but they recorded and tracked it, 652,000 gospel conversations where they tried to talk to people on the street, talk to them in parks, talk to them on buses, talk to them on planes, wherever it might have been. 652,000. Last year, we gave out over 1.8 million gospels, copies of the scriptures. And that could be The Spark magazine, that could be the Hope magazine, that could be Gospels of John, it could be the Bible, it could be all sorts of different ones. But we shared 1.8 million copies of Scripture last year. That's exciting, folks. That's people like you having conversations and giving away the gospel. That's exciting. We don't have stats on how many people were converted. That's not our. We want to present the Word of God along the way. And so, 1.8 million copies of Scriptures. Now, I have a little bit of time left. I'm going to give you a couple stories, and then we're going to watch a quick video. You okay? I know your turkeys are all cooking, so I got to go ahead. Spark magazine. Spark magazine has 12 lessons in the beginning of it. If you've never seen it, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any with, but I can certainly get some for me. I'll ship them to Kurt, and he can bring it all over to you. There's 12 lessons in here on discovering who Jesus is in the relationship with Jesus. 12 great lessons. Then it's the Gospel of John inside, and then at the back it's a prayer of salvation, how to give your life to Christ. And so Spark magazine has gone all over the world, not only all over the world, but also in Canada. And I want to tell you about a remarkable story. Is in Nicaragua, the government there asked us to give to the school-age children a copy of the Scriptures. And so we started with Spark. And Spark magazine, 1.7 million copies of Scripture. And so we've been working on this project for, it's a 10-year project. We've got a couple years left to go on this project. But 1.7 million copies of the Scriptures. Now, hold on to that. Then, we didn't do this, but the church in Lebanon, of all places, you never think, they created a curriculum to go with Spark magazine. And so we have a 12-week course that goes with Spark magazine, developed by this church in Lebanon. And we've published it. They've given it to us. Now, we don't use all the same songs and puzzles and all the same things, so that we allow for creativity. So we now have Spark plus the 12 lessons. We call them Spark Clubs. So what's happened is countries that have started off with Spark have Spark Clubs coming together now. And now we've trained them on how to do these 12 lessons. And they're having these little groups with children, young people, these classes, ongoing, working through the 12 lessons. And when they graduate from Spark Clubs, they get a full Bible. And so what's happening is that the local church is experiencing, again, the local church is experiencing growth, a revival in Nicaragua, because guess where all these children are coming to? They're coming to the church. They're bringing their friends to the church. The parents are starting to come to the church. Yeah, exactly, you know. And so the church, it's called the Phoenix Project, the church relationship, the leadership of the church has said, can you give us more Scriptures? They've asked for 1 million copies of the Scriptures to be given out to families in Nicaragua. Because they see the powerful impact that God is making through such a simple tool as presenting the gospel, giving them the Scriptures, and going on from there. So Spark magazine in Nicaragua, in Cuba, in India. I got to tell you about India. Samson, in 2012, 2013, was called by God to collect the names of people who wanted a copy of the Scriptures. He didn't have Scriptures at the time. Until he met Peter from our office. He was the president at the time. And he shared the story with Peter. And Peter says to him at the end, says, well, where are you going to get the Scriptures? And Samson says, maybe that's your job. So we partnered with Samson. We call it the Samson Project. But you know those big binders, those ring binders that, you know, the rings inside like that? I've got this picture that table just covered in these binders and down on the floor. These are all the names of the people that he's been collecting who want to copy the Scriptures. So over the years, God's been providing Scriptures through us and through the Canadian Bible Society there in India to print them, because we couldn't send them in anymore. And then Samson, just recently, maybe a year ago now, he felt God calling him, like he did, to go get the names in India. He said, I want you to go to Bhutan and Nepal. These are northeast of India. And I want you to go there, and I want you to translate the Hope magazine into their languages. It's an evangelistic tool that they can use. And so he went and he translated it. and gave it to those countries. Now, Bhutan is a very Buddhist country. Nepal is a little more open to the church and Christianity, but not like Bhutan. I'm telling this story in Three Hills, Alberta, not like Seven Fisters. I'm learning all this stuff, by the way. Three Hills, Alberta. There's a Two Hills, Alberta, too, by the way. So I'm telling the story, and there's a young lady from an Asian descent just sitting in her chair waiting for me to sit down and be quiet. It's a long night, sorry. So when I'm done, she comes over to me. She says, guess what? What? And she says, God's called me to be a missionary to Bhutan. I had to think for a minute. Did you just do that now? Or did you do that? So I asked her, God already called you to Bhutan? Yes. But you just talked about Bhutan. I want to know more about Bhutan. And I said, I'm so sorry. All I know is the story. I don't know anything else. But I will connect you with people that do. But you see, God is doing something remarkable and fantastic. Now, folks, we're going to... I got tons of stories, but I got to keep moving on here. Respect the time I was given. So sorry to jam so much in a short period of time. We're going to watch a video. It's called Someone Somewhere. And then after this video, I want you to be thinking about the names of people, a person or two, that you want to share the gospel with, that you want to be intentional about. Maybe you've been having those small talk conversations. Maybe it's time to ramp it up. Maybe you've been doing this for a couple of years and you're just feeling a sense of urgency in your spirit. Remember, you're not doing this alone. We're doing it together with the Holy Spirit, with Christ Himself, God the Father. We're doing this in relationships, coming on with partners. Sometimes, you know, people get together and they have these chances to share. We're going to watch this video, and then we're going to pray after we do one song in closing. Okay, so we got. This is the video. Do I have it on the right section here? So yes, we're going to watch the video, and then we're going to do our one more song.
Do you remember the first time you heard the gospel? That moment when someone, somewhere, shared the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Maybe it was your friend. Maybe it was a total stranger. Or maybe it was your mom. Whoever it was, and whenever it happened, it's why you are the way that you are today. It's the reason you do life with people here and do things like this or love people like this. All of it because the God of the universe, the God who created everything, sent someone somewhere to die in your place. And then he sent someone else, somewhere else, to share that good news with you. Your turn to be that someone for someone else. Maybe it's here. Or here. Here. Or here. Wherever you are, someone, somewhere is waiting for you. And we can't wait to help you be that someone for them. Because together, can tell the world.
Worship team is going to come back. One more song, and then I'll do a prayer benediction. Thank you.
We invite you to stand with us.
Father, I thank you that you've called them into deep relationship with you and one another. And I thank you, Father, for the bond of unity and peace and love and joy that exists within this church. And Lord, we pray today for our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers, Lord, those who help us, who serve us. Lord, whoever may be on our heart, Lord God, that you are going to give us that opportunity, that courage to share the good news of the gospel with them. We thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we have with these people. We pray for courage, Lord, and strength. We don't have to be perfect. But, Lord, we thank you that you're going to give us that opportunity, what to say, how to say it, and when to say it, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would then take those spoken words, take your written word, Lord, and change a life and change a heart. So, Lord, we pray for those people today. We call them by name in Jesus' name. And we ask, oh God, that these folks would come to know you in Jesus' name as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for this day, Lord. We pray your continued healing in this church and their hearts. And Father, for the great blessing as this church grows and cares about its community and those around it. In Jesus' name, and together we said,
Amen.
Let me read a benediction for us today. By the way, thank you so much for coming today. Sorry if I've gone a little long, but I'm only coming once, so I'm just kidding. Here we go. May the God who calls us into one family send us out with one heart and one purpose. May we live together in unity, pray together in faith, and tell the world together the good news of Jesus Christ. Go in peace, go in love, go together. Amen.
Amen.